I don't want to.
Wait, yeah, you do.
Yeah, I do. We're here. I really want to.
Trigger warning. This is the Freedom Fiends Variety Hour, broadcasting from Pod Bay 2A, a mile above sea level, you know, at Intergalactic Prairie Studios in the corner of Trash View and Nata Vista. You alter your locus coeruleus by warming your synapses with rejuvenative radio waves.
Yep.
Yep, so you know what to do with your 3D glasses right now. Gonna warm your brain to a tasty and toasty 365 degrees Fahrenheit to keep a sin flood of statism out of your head. Can you feel it? Is it working? Can you feel it, Michael? Once again, the Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org.
Yeah. Yeah.
We made it.
I got it. So, I made it. You're so, you know, the guy whose place I took on this show, we had some other guy who was a communist. He was late. Worse yet, he was late. I fired him, and I took his place on this show. I was hired after, no. But you're early. You're an hour early tonight. Actually, more than an hour. Yeah, you're an hour early. So tell us about being an hour early, because you live on an island, and they haven't brought the new updated time yet. Do you have daylight savings time in Hawaii?
Nope. Just like Arizona, there is no such thing as daylight savings time here.
Yeah.
So So it got me. It got me in appointments that I'm not getting paid for that are recurring, and that's where it bit me.
So wait, you have an alert on your clock that's called appointments that don't pay me that are recurring.
I just found that I need to make that alert because that's my liability for daylight savings.
Well, would it adjust? How would you adjust it?
Oh, I have to manually adjust everything.
You have to tell it. Oh, man.
So far, because I'm not so tech, you know. I'm kind of low tech.
There were times when I was in a band that we missed shows or were late for shows or missed sound check because of daylight savings. Because back then, we didn't have like computers in our pocket that updated with the local time. And you know, a lot of times when you're in a band that's not hugely popular, it's kind of an honor to just be booked anywhere. So you'll drive 12 hours for a show, but, you know, in one day, like 8 days in a row. So, I mean, even backtracking a lot. So you end up crossing a lot of time zones, and they were kind of hard to keep track of back then when it was like, you know, no computer in our pocket, and one guy in the band maybe had a wristwatch and forgot to wind it or forgot to get batteries for it, and we'd show up, and they'd be like, you're on, get up there, load in, right on the stage. Yeah, good times.
Timing.
Daylight savings should die.
Yeah, that was the pep talk I got before going on the radio with you, Michael. Like that.
From
you know,
who?
Why don't you just... No, from my girlfriend.
From your lady friend?
Yeah, just like, this is ridiculous, just tell them that it should die. And it's like, okay.
Yeah.
So there's the message.
We did it.
You heard it here first. I live
quite
well without it.
It's controlled by governments. And here's the thing. People say, but if it wasn't, everyone would be late or early for everything. But here's the thing. With computers in everyone's pocket, it could be translated in real time. Like if I guess there could be like a universal time. There kind of is. I mean, there's UTC, which doesn't have daylight savings time. Really, just everyone should be set to UTC. Everyone could be set to UTC and then... Maybe even like different, it could be down, like you could opt out of government time to the point where each person could have different government time. And when you walked up to them, there's your phone would know that they're on a different time and would adjust your time while you're talking to them and then adjust back.
I want to switch to, you know, like blockchain time. Or is that universal UTC
well,
time?
Well, it is usually UTC, but the problem with blockchains is they're not really to time. Like, the frequency of blockchains on most mined cryptocurrencies is fungible. I found that out very quick when I released my first and only cryptocurrency, Bitcoin. It was, you know, the block time on that is 2 minutes to the 10 minutes on Bitcoin. And once some people really started mining it, all of a sudden it was like spitting out blocks every 15 or 20 seconds. And I like, you know, screeched at our programmer, like, it's broken, you got to fix it. And he's like, no, that's how it works, man. And then, you know, when people are slowing down mining it, it'll give out a block every few hours. That's how it is. That's to adjust for, you know about that?
No, I mean, I didn't understand the mechanism of it. Yeah, I realized
Bitcoin's
that.
Bitcoin's like that too, yeah. But there's been a steady, slow increase in the number of miners since it began, pretty much, or since it was worth anything, to the point where it's stayed pretty close to 10 minutes.
Oh, yeah, and for the folks listening, we're talking about Bitcoin and cryptocurrency mining. It is a peer-to-peer, open-source, decentralized, means no central server kind of location, units of electronic encrypted information that are valuable because they're scarce, and therefore they move around across international boundaries.
Scarce, and they have other things that make them valuable, too. I mean, there's things that are scarce that are worthless. Like, there's probably, you know, deadly microbes that are scarce that you probably couldn't sell. You probably could to somebody. But they're also fungible, divisible down to micrometers of cents.
8 decimal points divisible. And right now...
Did you say decibel points? You're hurting my ears.
I'm so sorry. I believe decimal. I said decimal.
Decimal points. I swear you said decibel.
We're going to have to listen to the tape, but right, here we go.
Yes, can you read that back, please? Yes, yeah. Okay. He said, Delta Echo Charlie, speaking of UTC, India, I'll probably spell it wrong, Charlie Bravo Echo Lima.
So Decibel. I guess I need to make time coin that keeps perfect time, and everyone just switches to that.
What's
and
up there, God?
Time.
God's trying to talk to us. What's up, God? Okay. Oh, I did. I'm sure I spelled it wrong. Yeah, the board op, the one guy that actually is probably looking at something that says decibel in front of him. He's like, yeah, you spelled it wrong. God whispered in our ear.
That's important.
Taxation is theft, but anyway, so back to Bitcoin. Yeah.
Bitcoin is worth $7,110.40 on my ticker right now.
1,000?
One Bitcoin. $7,110.30.
I was listening to my streaming server, Cuss Free Liberty. You can get that at cussfreeliberty.org. It's like a online radio station that plays about 10 different shows, including this one. And some where they actually talk about liberty and don't just joke like we do. Well, we talk about liberty, but this wouldn't fly on the Tom Wood Show, really, what we're doing right now.
It's not historical enough.
Yeah. Well, he's like the professor, you know. Man, and we're like, you know, Beavis and Butthead in the back of the class, cutting up and about to get kicked out of class. So he's good. I like him. He's on my network. But I was listening the other day, and I just, you know, somebody sent me some Bitcoin. And the next day, I was listening to this, and I was like, oh, I finally got some Bitcoin that I didn't spend back when it was worth $50. I mean, I don't have a lot. I have some, finally. Far less than a Bitcoin, but it's still exciting. And I was listening to this, and there's a show called the Crypto Show or something. Not the Crypto Show, some other crypto show that plays on my network. And, you know, at the beginning of those shows, they usually read the price of various popular coins, and they said, and Bitcoin's worth $1,100. And I was like, oh crap, it crashed finally. And then I realized, like, it was like a several year old episode replaying, or a year older, something. Yeah.
Oh, you know, not crashing, not really.
It's doing the opposite.
And you could put in whatifbitcoin.com, by the way, everyone out there, and you can see, put in a date. And if you had invested X amount, you can put in the amount on whatever date you put in the date, and it'll tell you what you would have made right now. Just yeah, if you want some buyer's remorse. Yeah, exactly. If you can handle the remorse, I send people directly to this website for that purpose. You know, just eat that. Eat that feeling of 2020 hindsight, please. Okay.
Yeah, there's an inflation site, dollar inflation site, that would be kind of the companion to that.
Yeah, that's because...
Let's look at that up. Let's see when the years we were born.
Oh, what a dollar bond
inflation calculator. Yeah. So I was born in 1964. Hmm. So let's see, if I had $1,000 in 1964... Oh, wait. No, I didn't do it right. This is internet on the radio for people that don't know. So yeah, 64.
Were the dimes silver in
64? $1,000. I think it's the year that they
stopped.
Yeah, yeah. It was the last year they were silver, or the first year they weren't. So 1,000 in 64 would be worth now 7,000. It'd be worth about a Bitcoin now, almost $7,987. That's obscene that in my lifetime the dollar has been devalued by a factor of seven. Is that a factor of seven? I don't know. It's worth 1/7, well, almost 1/8 what it was.
Yeah, I was thinking of like someone who's say 21 years old, and in their lifetime, Bitcoin has increased in value how many times?
21. I mean, Bitcoin hasn't been around. It's been around what, 8, 9, 10 years? 9 years?
Yeah, it's a 9-year-old thing. Yeah.
It's as old as I've been married. My wife and I were together a year before that, I think. Something like that. I don't know. I lose track in my old age. But
that's right.
You know, if I'd like, given her Bitcoin, if I'd given her $100 worth of Bitcoin instead of a $100 microphone, which is what I gave her for a wedding present so we could podcast together in 2006. No, Bitcoin wasn't. It was 2008, wasn't it? It started.
The white paper was written in 2008, and then the network seemed to go online 2009.
Yep.
They had to think about it. Like they had the instruction plan, but they didn't.
They. So for our first anniversary, if I'd got her $100 for the Bitcoin, I don't even want to look at that calculation. Man.
Okay, so that's a long-lasting relationship, and that means you could give advice on that, right?
Oh, yeah. That's where, nice segue, man. Yeah, we're going to segue into, we're going to talk about advice and how it stinks, and most people have it. So you were psyched to do a show. You called me an hour early, and I was really busy, and you're like, where are you, dude? And I'm like, I'm right here, really busy. I'll talk to you in 48 minutes. And you're like, oh, man, yeah. You don't know what's going on in the world because you live in Hawaii in this island paradise, and you just make love on the beach with your woman and pluck lobsters out of the ocean with your hand and cook them on a bonfire. And
it's a little bit more like Castaway with Wilson. Okay?
It's like Castaway with internet. Yeah. Yeah.
We'll be back.
Yeah.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
The Central Scrutinizer is a Soviet-style Leviathan trying to keep track of all you do. That's why I use a VPN, or virtual private network, from Bola VPN. Bola VPN is inexpensive, secure, and will allow you to use your computer without leaving a trail. Bola VPN is now also offering torrent seed boxes for safely sharing media with the world. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them from the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
Rawr. Yep. Uh-huh. So.
You keeping it all organized over there?
Yep. So you got this new thing, Daryl, that you're doing that's like AA, but you can drink. What is it?
You wanted to talk about that? That's wild.
Well, we're going
to
talk about advice, right?
Yeah, that is true. I do go there to get advice. See, I do these things called...
Is this Toastmasters?
No, it's called mastermind groups. We like built them. Someone chooses to want to make one, so make a list of people. We invite, vet them, see who's going to show up. It's about showing up on the regular.
Napoleon Hill.
Yeah,
that guy.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's based on that, and then essentially, like in 1 hour, we meet. We share like just like a cool uplifting win. Each of us, you know, like what's up with that? What's a cool thing that happened for each of us? Someone's in the hot seat. They share their pain points, like things like usually related to their business, but sometimes something personal. Like some looking for advice along the lines of whatever, say my business, you know, that type of thing, and then everyone goes in and throws like questions and then advice. And then the person takes that advice and says, here's what I'm going to do with it by next week or by this month. And then, you know, who's in the hot seat next time? That's it. 60 minutes. That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would be thrown out within a day. doing that, probably.
Yeah, there, we got agreements, you know, to take the advice, you know.
What?
No.
Well, I mean,
way,
like, listen, you just, to hear it say, okay, and you get to, like, either throw it away if you don't want to use it, or say,
is
that's
a
good,
cult?
I'll use that. Exactly. Yeah,
is it,
it is a
cult.
I'm looking at the website. It looks like a cross. It looks like one of those.
The website? What website? There's not,
I mean,
a single,
I don't want
website
to make you feel bad. I'm just, this is cool. I'm just saying what it's striking me of. You know, I was in, yeah, this band called The Day I Lost My Virginity back in 1984, which is well after I lost my virginity, but that was the band name. The drummer was in a band called No Trend. He's Michael Sulkind. And I was homeless, and Michael Sulkind's like, you're homeless. Let me take you somewhere that'll be fun tonight. I'm like, okay. And so we go to this hotel boardroom or hotel, you know, conference room. There's about 200 people in there. Turns out it's an EST seminar. Do you know what EST is? EST.
Yeah, I read up on that. It's,
yeah,
I don't know. Some of the practices seemed really kind of twisted.
Creepy.
You know,
yeah,
like,
well,
like pushing
put it
the
this
envelope.
Way, within, like they, so someone went up and talked, and then Stefan Molyneux was influenced by this. Like, he's doing that kind of stuff to his audience, allegedly. Not a guarantee. Don't try this at home. Yeah, he's EST. It's creepy. By the end of this thing, like, they almost tried to they almost got me brainwashed. I was like, they were like, well, how are you going to get the $500 for the advanced seminar? And I'm like, I don't know, man. I'll get it. I didn't have money for, like, food or cigarettes. And I was like, yeah, I'll get the $500. And then we left, and, like, the spell wore off. It was Halloween, too. Like, this is where I spent my Halloween in 1984. It was horrible.
Whoa.
F that guy.
So, just looking up, you know, you can, anyone out there can do this, but Wikipedia EST.
Yeah.
Uh-oh.
Erhard Seminars Training. You looking at the website? Okay. It's, yeah, it was a takeoff on something creepy. It was creepy. It was just creepy, man. Notable participants. Let's see. I think all these people have been molested. I don't know. John Denver. He's one. Douglas Engelbart. Douglas Engelbart, inventor of the computer mouse. I actually wrote him a fan letter and thanked him for the mouse back when he was alive. He wrote back.
Whoa. Wow.
Very short answer. It's basically, you're welcome. I enjoy getting, you know, not many people thank me for this. Thank you. I wrote a fan letter and thanked the inventor of the World Wide Web, Sir, who's that guy's name? Sir somebody. What's his name? British guy. Worked at CERN. Berners-Lee. Whoa. Yeah, Berners-Lee. Yeah, Tim Berners-Lee. I wrote him a fan letter, too, and he wrote back, and he seemed a little more bitter than the mouse guy, but he was younger, and it went further, because computers work without mouses, but, you know, to most people, the world doesn't work without the web.
Yeah.
So,
how does it work without the web?
The bad brains had this thing about, like, the power of positive thinking. Do you remember that? That punk band, Mind Power. And it was, I think it was Napoleon Hill. I really do. I think that was, like, you know, one of them was in jail and found a self-help book from the 40s or something.
Now, you know, there was a lot of positive thinking kind of thing, and this stuff is, honestly,
think
that's
and
pretty
grow
different.
Rich. The guy wrote a book.
Yep.
Napoleon Hill wrote a book called Think and Grow Rich.
He did, yeah, yeah.
Did he think and grow rich from selling that book?
I think he did grow rich from that book, Michael.
That's how most people who write books on how to get rich. Although, you know, if you're already rich, they'll write the book for you and just put your name on it.
And that's our advice for this next
guys.
Segment.
He lived to be 87. That's pretty rich.
That is. And he really wrote a much better book called Outwitting the Devil. That's a much
Ooh.
Better book. His. Yeah.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Are you a political activist who does things that the government might not like? Then this free ebook may save your life. Rats is your guide to protecting yourself against snitches, informers, informants, agents provocateur, narcs, finks, and similar vermin. Rats was written by OG libertarian Claire Wolfe. Rats is a short book, easy to read, and available free in many formats. Download Rats free at rats-nosnitch.com. That's rats-nosnitch.com.
Live? This is the radio? This thing on? You can't say that on radio. All right.
You know, in a world where you don't have to have physical copies of anything, there's still
great.
there's still real people out there who are board ops listening to you and giving advice in your ear.
What'd he say? What'd I miss? I was pee-pee kitty.
Oh, he didn't say anything. I'm just making it up and having an excuse to talk about our awesome board ops over here.
Yep, so. Nathan's great. Nathan's the best one.
Yep.
Is that racist against the other board ops? I think it is. Because everyone should be a winner, right, these days?
I actually...
What they tell me.
I'll never forget my first board op. That's Daniel.
Communists. Yeah. Oh, not the... No. Communists who say that... Communists are people that say everyone's a winner. Daniel's not a communist.
No,
I'll never forget
no.
my first board
he
op.
He only gives me a trophy when I deserve it.
Yeah, I don't get a trophy. So. I just don't get yelled at. Yeah, if I do it right. Although I've yelled at some board ops. They don't like me. None of them like me except Nathan. Nathan never makes mistakes or rarely make. He made one. I think he made one in 2013. I remember that day well. But yeah. So the mastermind group, the cult, one of the cults you're in.
Yeah, one of my cults.
I'm sorry. High demand group, I think is what they're called now. That's the politically correct term. There's even a radio ad that for the Fiends app that says, the Freedom Fiends app is your gateway to the high demand group that is the Freedom Fiends.
Yeah, so, one of them, I got five guys, that's, four guys and myself.
Sounds kind of gay to me, but go ahead.
Okay, well, kind of like we're spread throughout the time zones, so,
Oh, it's not I very thought you were going to say room.
Okay. Hell no. No, no. We're across the time zones.
Okay.
I'm sorry, say that.
But do you adjust for daylight savings time for them?
I do. I adjust for their daylight savings
time. Not for us. Just not for me. All right.
Yeah.
I see how it is.
I'm going to bring it up at some point.
I'm not in your cult. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not in your cult, so you're early.
How come I always have to change my time?
Because, I don't know, maybe the Fiends should all have to live in Arizona. And actually, I think there's like one town or county in Arizona that does celebrate the diversity of daylight savings time.
Wasn't there a mastermind group Fiends co-host who lived in Arizona? No.
Oh, we had some people were removed from the Fiends today. We should probably talk about that.
Oh, the Fiendly departed.
Hugo is no longer a Fiend.
Oh.
And Derek J. Freeman is no longer a Fiend. And I don't take any pleasure in that. And it was amicable for both. They're just both too busy.
Oh.
Hugo's got a job where he can't be on in the night, and Derek J hasn't done a show in almost two years, and for 2 years I've been including him in the emails of, hey, if you want to do a show tonight, I need somebody, and at one point I said, like, do you want me to still send those to you, are you still a Fiend? He's like, yeah, I'm still a Fiend. Keep sending them to me.
I just love the way he says pod bay too gay. It just is so perfect.
Well, you can stay that now. But I told both these guys that since they were honorably discharged from the Fiends, they get to keep their wrestling name, their Fiends wrestling name.
Yeah.
Derek J is the Warrant Canary, and Hugo is the, what is he, the Jet Black Cockatoo or something? The Jet Cockatoo? It's weird. It's a Mexican thing. I don't understand it. But yeah, I like those guys. They like me.
Yeah. I like all of the Fiendly Departed mostly,
Well,
except the ones
with bad audio, man, who, see, if you're going to leave the Fiends, take my good audio advice and learning. I bleed through the, we'll get back to Napoleon Hill. Now, Napoleon Hill, though, I do want to interject in my conicentral parenthetical hypertextual conversation here with myself that you're a part of. Napoleon Hill influenced not only the Bad Brains, but also Andrew Carnegie. Now, Andrew Carnegie was filthy rich. Now, if he'd influenced only the other Dale Carnegie, I wouldn't be impressed. Dale Carnegie is a guy who wrote a book on how to get rich and got rich from writing a book on how to get rich. He like wrote the first one of the first self-help books. But people bought Dale Carnegie's book because they thought he was related to Andrew Carnegie, but he wasn't. This is like in 1908 or something.
Name recognition.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, you want to connect Bad Brains to Napoleon Hill and mastermind groups somehow?
Yeah. Yeah, I do.
Okay. I'm still trying.
But I also want to connect it to what you shouldn't do, which is leave the Fiends and leave your good audio training here. Because someone sent me today, someone filled with schadenfreude, who knew I'd be filled with schadenfreude, sent me a link. I'll put it in the show notes to MK Lord's and Davi Barker's podcast on TalkShoe or one of those, Blog Talk Radio. One of those, like, literally worse than Hitler. I mean, it sounds like they're in the toilet doing a podcast, you know? Like, they're obviously, like, they have some cheap mic sitting on a table and they're all, like, 5 feet away from it. It's horrible. It's really horrible, man. Jim Jesus won't speak to me or give me the time of day. I'm like he who cannot be named to him, but he has great audio because I taught him well. He actually was my best student of cheap good audio school. It was before he was even a fiend. He became a fiend because he had good audio and he was fun. Like, you know, he had this YouTube channel. I was like, man, you got some good ideas here, but the audio is horrible. Buy this $70 mic, buy this $10, $20 mic stand, buy this $1 windscreen. Now get it. Buy these $10 headphones. Now let me help you hook it up. Okay. Like the next day, he did a YouTube video that sounded stellar, and he's sounded stellar since. And I salute him for his great audio.
But do you think they did bad audio on purpose? I think they did it to poke me.
Yeah, which is like literally shooting yourself in the foot, not figuratively, to spite someone else.
And so did they violate you somehow? Did they
No, cross over your rights? They filled me with joy and I got kind of like moist hearing how bad they sounded. It was also just the most lefty crap I've ever heard, but other than that, they're a bunch of you're all a bunch of socialists, MK Lords and Davi Barker, but yeah.
I don't know what that is, but for listeners out there who do know what that is,
yeah,
well, you can go speaking through the audio
Muslims,
archive.
Speaking of Muslims, you know what happened in Egypt? Did you see this? Like, Egypt is so zero tolerance. There's an American woman who's in jail in Egypt because she brought her sick husband's prescribed pain medicine with them on the trip for him.
I didn't hear of this.
Life in prison. She's getting life in prison. She's in a like normal sized jail cell with like 25 other women. The toilet is a hole in the floor. And the drug was tramadol, which isn't even that fun. It's like a pain medicine that's nowhere near like, you know, what is it the kids take? Percocet, Percodan, some narcotics supposed to be good for you.
Yeah,
Percodan. Codeine. Yeah. Like it's nothing like that, you know.
From tramadol's not.
Allegedly.
Oof.
I've had tramadol, and I've had both of those for surgery, because I had hernia surgery last year, and I had tramadol a long time ago for something. I don't remember what it was. Oh, it's when I fell off my, last time I skateboarded, I fell off my skateboard and cracked my bone in my elbow.
Oh, with all these pains, like, you must want some advice from me, right?
Not really. I gave some advice today to somebody who had back problems. I said, go get a TENS unit. Although it's not medical advice, but I got a TENS unit to help me. You know what a TENS unit is?
Absolutely. Of course.
Of course you do.
Yeah,
it sounds like voodoo, though. I had to convince the guy it's not voodoo. Like, yeah, it's this thing you can buy for $30 on Amazon, and it gives you small electric shocks, and your pain goes away. It sounds like voodoo from 1900, you know?
In fact, electromedicine does go back to that time period.
I know. Yeah. It's probably the first thing they did with it, was what can we do with this?
It's like, if we stimulate certain follicles this way.
There's an awesome scene in that show I was watching. Did you not talk about that medical show from 1900? It's like it's about the junkie doctor who's great.
It's called, you know, the Nick?
Dr. House from 1901. Uh-huh. What's it called, DJ? Oh, the Nick, KNICK, Knickerbocker Hospital in New York City. Yeah,
the Nick.
Yeah, there's a scene in there where like they just recently. So in 1901, there was no penicillin, but there was cocaine and morphine. So and ether. So to do surgery, they'd use ether and or morphine, and then for pain afterwards, they use morphine. And they use cocaine for local anesthetic wherever they were doing the surgery, in addition to the morphine or the ether for the patient. And there's a scene in there, and a lot of the things in there happen. I was reading about this. There's a doctor who's doing like surgery on someone's throat, through their throat, like there's a big hole in their throat. And he finished the surgery, is successful. And, you know, they're running the ether through the nose to anesthetize the person. And he's like, okay, nurse, please close now. And they had the electric cauterizer, which they'd recently invented. And, you know, the nurse sticks two electrodes. It's kind of like welding shut the scar, or so you don't bleed.
Burning the skin shut.
Yeah, yeah. And the nurse goes to do that and sticks the electrodes in the hole where the ether fumes are. And it blows up and burns the doctor and kills him. And knock the nurse over.
Wow.
Don't try this at home.
Combining, like, you got, like, a live, like, electric voltage, and you have, like, an ether coming out of, like, some type of 1900s ether tank.
Yeah.
It's 1901 ether tank.
It's basically what happens inside an internal combustion engine. You have a highly flammable hydrocarbon fume, like, and a spark.
This is not too long after the time period where the discoverer of chlorine is, like, you know, his final journal chloroform entry. I think chlorine, I shall now discover the odor of chlorine or chloride. And then that's it. You know, I mean, it's deadly.
What are you talking about?
Chloride or chlorine, the actual element. Fluoride.
The inventor of it died?
The discoverer of that element, yeah. Like
the discoverer of radium died, too, from radiation poison. Pierre Curie. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, there was crazy stuff. They weren't experimenting with radiation medicine yet, but they didn't know X-rays were harmful, and they had, like, X-ray machines were way more harmful than now. And they were like, this is great. Let's X-ray, you know, like people who are healthy, like doctors and nurses. Like, hell, they'd have parties where they'd all X-ray each other's, you know, like multiple. And everyone's standing in the same room in front of this, like, giant bulb with no shielding that's just filling the room with, yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
So careful when you go back in time to those places, by the way.
Yeah.
Style of medicine you'll get.
So if I was in one of these mastermind groups, I think I'd end up, after 3 days, I do what the guy who started AA did. So the guy who started AA, one of them, it was two guys. One of them, Bill Wilson, stockbroker. Yeah, we'll talk about Bill Wilson when we get back. And then we'll talk about my my graphics pen tablet. If you can pull that up during the break, look at it.
Yeah.
It's cool.
We'll be back.
Yeah. I'll be back. Yeah.
Yeah.
Worms.
Worms?
Government is horrible. So square.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
I love the Freedom Fiends, but in this modern busy world, I just don't have time to listen all the way through every episode.
There is a solution. Go to the World Wide Web and log on to digest.freedomfiends.com and subscribe to the Freedom Fiends Digest. Digest.freedomfiends.com has 20-minute best-ofs of each episode.
20-minute best-ofs? Digest.freedomfiends.com sounds great. How much does it cost?
That's the best part. It's free. And if you listen at 1.5 speed, they're only 13 minutes long. Plus, the episodes are only about 15 megs, which is great, because I have a limited data plan.
Wow. I'm at digest.freedomfiends.com right now. It's so simple to use. And anyone who doesn't have 13 minutes to listen to the Freedom Fiends is a big old statist.
I agree with you about people who can't find 13 minutes to listen to the Freedom Fiends Digest. That's digest.freedomfiends.com.
Yeah!
We're back with our radical show.
I thought you were going to cuss. It sounded like a radical show. Showa? The Daily Showa? No.
It is bad. The Showa.
We are not the Daily Showa. You know what that is?
Showa is a Yiddish term?
For Holocaust, isn't it?
Right.
Yeah, there's an alt-right podcast called The Daily Showa.
Ooh.
Ooh. I think Storm it's too Watch. Soon. Too soon?
Too soon.
Storm Watch? Stormfront.
Stormfront, that's it.
Storm Watch would be like the people that keep an eye on.
So you're going to bring up your tablet? Is that what you wanted to lead with?
Yeah. You know, I want to talk about the Jews. You brought that up. So
that's true.
Yeah. I actually had someone like try to get me not to not put somebody in a documentary who belonged in it because he was Jewish. So, or no, because the ADL didn't like him. Aren't they a terrorist organization, allegedly? Don't try this at home. Not a guarantee.
Is that the Anti-Defamation League?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's... Yeah. I don't know what exactly they are, but they are well funded. How much money do they have?
I don't know.
Is that more than a billion?
Tracking, yeah, I don't know. Something like that.
Yeah.
They may not be terrorists. I'm not going to say that. I don't have time to Google them, but yeah. So I made this documentary called Hubert Selby Jr. It'll Be Better Tomorrow. And one of the people in it was this guy named Amiri Baraka, this black fella who is not around anymore. A lot of people in that documentary are dead, because a lot of people in that documentary were friends with Hubert Selby in the 50s. So, you know, they were old. A lot of people have died since I interviewed him in that. So Amiri Baraka, do you know who he is? He's kind of famous for some things.
Not yet. I don't know this guy.
He kind of invented rap, because... Cool. He wrote poetry in the 50s and 60s under the name Leroy Jones, his original name.
Oh.
That was, you know that name?
Is this going into The Revolution Will Not Be Televised?
Yeah, no, he was an influence on The Last Poets, who were an influence on Gil Scott Heron, who was an influence on all rap.
Right.
But it was total Kill Whitey stuff, his 50s stuff, and then he still was kind of like that. You know, before he died, like not that long before he died, but not nearly as intense. But he wrote a poem. He was the poet laureate of New Jersey at one point. Actually, when I interviewed him, he just stopped being the poet laureate in New Jersey. So the poet laureate in New Jersey, which is a pretty Tony position, you know, it's a government. He's like the best poet in our state. You represent our state. You know, they're supposed to go read at public event. You know,
we like your message.
There's money behind. You know, there's backing behind it and money. And you know, he was from Hoboken or no Newark, Newark, covered in Hoboken. Yeah, and he wrote this poem after 9/11 called "Somebody Blew Up America," that was ranting about the insanity of the fact that those towers got blown up by planes. And there was one line in it that said something like, you know, 10,000 Jews were told not to go to work that day, you know, which is a conspiracy theory that's not true. You've heard that, right?
Yeah, I've heard that one.
So that was considered anti-Semitic. So there was this big outcry. The ADL got involved and pressured the governor of New Jersey, the guy who later, it turned out, was having a gay affair, cheating on his wife, and lost the governorship. But before that, he tried to stop Amiri Baraka from being the poet laureate in New Jersey to appease, you know, when you're in the government, the everyone's screaming at you. Yeah, yeah. And they couldn't legally rescind it, so they dissolved the post. My theory is that at some point they're going to reinstate the post and make Bruce Springsteen the poet laureate in New Jersey. But so this was just, they stole it from him, basically. You know, the government gave and the government takes away. And, you know, people say, well, it's the government. It's not, but it's an honorific thing that has a lot of weight with it. So, but yeah, he was in the Selby movie because he knew Selby in the 50s and he used to shoot dope with him. And he's the only guy I could find that used to shoot dope with Selby. Some lady told me, some Jewish lady said, he shouldn't be in your movie. And she was like someone who's providing some, you know, footage for the movie. She knew Cubby. And Selby's Jewish widow said he should be in the movie. My Jewish producer said that this guy should be in the movie, Amiri Baraka. And Jerry Stahl, one of the guys, Jewish guy that is one of the kind of stars of the movie, said, you know, basically you don't take someone out of a movie because it's unpleasant if they serve the story and were there.
So exactly. There.
So ADL, boycott this show. And our one advertiser, Cell 411, which is great, but the ADL might be boycotting it. It's up tomorrow. Let's get Cell 411. It's a free app that allows you to call your friends instead of the police, because your friends won't shoot you.
Ever struggle for the right thing to say at a party? Want something to break the ice? Get the free Freedom Fiends Android app, Pocket Alibi. Pocket Alibi will help you have things to say. It'll replace verbal communication when you're not speaking with somebody.
I value your input.
It'll make you the hit of any party.
Not my circus, not my monkeys.
Will it work?
Not a guarantee.
It's a great icebreaker, too. Comes loaded with hundreds of original funny sayings with great voices and great recording quality. It's arranged into 7 categories. Disclaimers.
You should never do the thing I'm talking about.
Excuses.
I'm sorry, sir. An older girl told me to do it.
Advice. Fun too.
Get off me, kitty.
Libertarian pickup lines.
Hey, baby, hold my camera while I yell at this meter maid.
State speech is hate speech.
Bark, bark for the state.
Get Pocket Alibi today on Google Play for free. Again, search for Pocket Alibi. That's Pocket Alibi, A-L-I-B-I.
Pocket Alibi, Pocket Alibi, Pocket Alibi, Pocket Alibi, Pocket Alibi.
Does this app make me look fat?
White kids turn Muslim. What's
worms?
Worms. All those
trigger cults, warning. Man. This is the Freedom Fiends, where we're known to talk through the break right into this next segment.
I should have been recording that, man.
The Libertarian Reeducation Center's low orbit ion cannon, high atop Financial Beast Plaza on the artificial satellite Lippar 2017 in the Alpha Centauri region.
Lippar.
Please insert
paradise.
The
it's libertarian
purple
paradise.
Wire into your cortex now. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. Learn more at BIPCOT.org. Yeah.
The rights, speaking of rights, which we're going to talk about soon, the rights notice on my new album, which is called Felis Bippus by Biptunia. The rights notice says someone wrote me and said they loved this today. The record's not even out. Somebody said, "Yeah, Felis Bippus. He says it's covered by the BIPCOT no gov license. This allows blah blah blah." That's what it says on it. Like, go look it up. I don't care. Whatever. Someone said they really liked the. I worked really hard on everything about this, including. The song titles. Here's the song titles. Someone said they really like this. They are, "I Don't Want What You Got Anymore," the first song. Then, "These Cats." Then, "Kratom Blues." "Arpeggiate the State." "Don't Step on the Truffulas." "Statism Symptoms." "Black Cat on a Pumpkin." "As the Pillars of Creation Fall." "On Approach to Alpha Centauri." "Taxation is MIDI Art Theft." "Tea with the Emperor's Concubines." "John Vibes with Jerry Garcia's Guns." That's one of the songs. "A Musical Enema for Your Lymph System." "There Are Good Days and Bad Days," and this is one of them. And finally, "Can Grains in a Tornado Go Right Through Ya?"
Yeah.
Song titles. Yeah. Maybe.
I think so.
Well, I call it that because I use a granular synthesizer on that, which is a whole new kind of thing. It's only been around a few years. You know,
so
that thing about
new,
like,
album. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. You know the thing about, like, straws going through palm trees in hurricanes?
Yeah. So lots of interesting pictures.
Yeah. Photos. So Mythbusters is such BS. I like that show, but it's not science. It's science adjacent, more or less.
But, next to science.
It's entertaining. It's, yeah, meta science. It's about science, but it's not really science. They did a thing where they said they disproved that because they got a straw and they got some device that could hurl it at 200 miles an hour at a tree, and it just destroyed the straw.
It doesn't work like that.
No, the reason it can work in a storm is because in a storm, the tree is being bent so far that it kind of opens up cracks in it. And then a straw can go into it.
I'd like to see what the real answer is, because I've heard otherwise.
What have you heard?
That basically it's the rotation effect creates these longitudinal waves, which actually phase and allow the shifting of the molecules of one thing into another. We're shifting.
Yeah, that sounds like synthesizers to me.
Yeah, it's all based on spin. That's why the weirdness around the spin. And it's been known for thousands of years, literally. In fact, it was used in the
literally
Alice. No, I'm sorry, not Alice in Wonderland. Excellent. The Dorothy, the Wizard of Oz books, all the L. Frank Baum books. He used the plot device of the tornado as a transportation to another realm because it was well known that weird things happen during tornadoes.
Yeah. Weird things happen during weird things. You know, I saw an interesting thing the other day that there was a statistical study that says that daylight savings time increases violence for a day or two, but it's the opposite of what you'd think. You'd think that in the spring, when you lose an hour, so people haven't slept enough and they're cranky, there'd be more violence, but nope. There's more violence in the, like, just the one that just happened. You know, when people get an extra hour of sleep, it's really, they're just thrown off. You know, they're discombobulated. Send Bob's and Vagine. And well, I told my wife that. She loved that. It's funny because our cat's name is Bob.
And if all of this this whole entire show has made you go to drink, you could always go to AA. Okay.
So. Oh yeah, yeah. So I went to AA for many years. I was a bad alcoholic starting at like age 19. Like as soon as I was out of the house and could drink, and no one would tell me not to, I went whole hog with that and smoking. And actually, in the long run, smoking did a lot more damage. But I quit drinking sooner too. So I quit drinking. When I was about 26, I quit drinking. I cured my alcoholism with intravenous heroin. It works. Where's the, don't try this at home. Where's allegedly the pocket alibi? Don't try this at home. It works. Like, you know, if you're drunk and all of a sudden you start shooting heroin every day, you just don't drink anymore. You don't have any reason to. You don't want to spend any money on it. You're like, oh, that's ridiculous. Then I shot heroin for 4 years. I was addicted and on and off. Like I would kick. I kicked about 30 times and I would kick anywhere for like, from like a week to a couple months. And then I'd start up again. And then I went to AA and NA when I was 30. Like 2 weeks before my 30th birthday, I crawled into an NA meeting and I could barely stand. I was like, I was way underweight. I was sickly. I was like grayish green. I was bad. And they loved me till I could love myself. And then I went until 2006. And when my daughter died, I was like, God has forsaken me. AA doesn't help. I don't need it. And, you know, stayed sober for a long time and never did heroin again, never drank again.
Whoa, you didn't go back to drinking and heroin after she
my
died?
My kid died? No. No.
Wow.
Nope. You know what I wish, though? I wish that someone had brought me some comfort food. Yeah. I realized that today. Like, my friend Phil Warmoth wrote this poem about how people are insincere when someone dies. They're like, oh, I'm sorry for your loss. They're with Jesus now. Like, I wanted to punch people that were saying that. And really, like, the only friend that helped, of all the people that said that, like, one of my friends said, oh, I'm sorry about that, man. Is there anything I can do? And I was like, yeah, I don't have money to get to the funeral. And he's like, done. How much do you need? I was like, no, a couple hundred. He sent me $500, said, it's not a loan, it's a gift, keep it. That helped me more than 200 people giving me their thoughts and prayers, man. But what also would have helped is that is if like one of those people had said, you know, brought me some meatloaf. It would have helped me sleep. I couldn't sleep, man. I was crazy.
Whoa.
I couldn't eat, but meatloaf I would have eaten. My wife made meatloaf today. I love meatloaf.
Well, I know how to make shepherd's pie. We'll see if that works.
Oh, we had shepherd's pie the other day. That's basically meatloaf and mashed potatoes in a blender. I used to have that at the church farm school every Sunday, man. Yeah, that's good.
So this is the late night kind of munchy food mentioning, just dropping it in there so that people who are listening, you know.
That's one thing that's good about the Jews is that when they go to a funeral, they bring comfort food.
Ugh, oy vey, have some nosh.
yeah, man. I mean, that's what you need after someone's dies. And they sit with you, you know? They don't just, like, send you a card or say, oh, man, I'm sorry this happened. Like, they come over and spend time with you, some of them, and bring you, well, if you're one of them.
If you're
a piping hot member of the tribe.
If I have a yarmulke, and I know how to spell yarmulke.
If you have a yarmulke. Oh, man, I spelled something wrong on my secret page for my new album. I gotta fix it. So AA. So AA was started by a guy who was going to this group, this cult group, like the ones you go to and like I go to, that was for stopping drinking. I think it was called the Washingtonians, and it was a Christian group that practiced what they called first century Christianity, which is where you know, they don't have a big cathedral. It's more like they go down, they go one man to another. They go out into the fields and out into the gutter and, you know, minister to people and help them out. And they were actually like one of the only things back then in the 30s that was actually sobering up drunks. You know, this guy was like constitutionally incapable of getting sober. And someone said, go to the Washingtonians. They sober people up. And he did. And he got sober and stayed sober. But then he was such a like type A personality and couldn't stop talking. I don't know what that's like, but he couldn't stop talking. And he just would stand up at every meeting and tell them like, we need to work more on drunks. You guys are helping everybody. We need to just help drunks more. And finally they were like, look, you take our four principles of spiritual enlightenment and take them and go start your own thing. With our blessing, get out of here. And he expanded their four steps into smaller bites and made them into the 12 steps, which I think is 12 steps because the 12 apostles, but also because, you know, it's easier for drunks to like have the step of being willing to do something and then the next step is doing it. Whereas in the Washingtonians, the step was just do it. So, yeah.
Wow. So it helped you. And then it served you. Sober. And then you were done.
And then I was done and then I wrote, but I still practice the principles in all my affairs. You know, there's like 50 or 60 12-step groups that use the 12 steps with permission. There's one that I went to for a while because someone thought I was a sex addict and told me I should go to the Sex and Love Addicts Anonymous. And they change one of the steps. It's, you know, it doesn't say we practice these principles in all our affairs in Sex and Love Addicts Anonymous. It says we practice these principles in all of our dealings with others.
There
we go.
Isn't
that funny? Like, they don't say affairs. I like that. Funny.
Yeah, well, I don't know that you have maybe the rights to have an affair. If I was going to segue into that one.
You're going to segue rights, but you're missing my tablet. So I got one of these pen tablets that you input with a computer with. I'll put it in the show notes. It was $25. It's great. I bought one of these in like 1998. It was $75 and the technology wasn't there yet. I returned it. But I bought one for $25. It's going to save my hands because my hands get really sore from clicking mouses thousands of times a day. You know, I invented a software program called Mouse Count with somebody in 1998 that counts how many times you click your mouse. You can actually download it if you search Mouse Count by Kitty Feet Software.
You can actually hurt yourself with clicking a mouse?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
For sure. So with the pen, you don't have to click. You just tap. And you actually just hover it over the pad to move the cursor. You don't even touch the pad.
Ooh.
It's weird. It's creepy.
Yeah.
But using it, it's like, since I've used a mouse 10 hours a day, every day since 2006, it's like trying to write with my left hand as a right-handed person. But I'm getting used to it. It's weird. It's creepy. I love it.
I just like to bathe in these electromagnetic frequencies of being around the computers all day, you know?
Of being around me? That's what I thought you were going to say.
I have to bathe in Michael's frequencies every day.
The healing power of Michael. Yeah.
I can feel it.
I feel it. Put your hands on the speakers on your radio, people. Now throw your radio against the wall.
When we come back,
money.
Michael's going to show me where on the doll someone touched his rights. Okay.
We're going to talk about rights for the rest of the show.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends. Want caviar sound on a cat food budget? Creamy Radio Audio by the Freedom Fiends has great free tips so you can sound like a pro without spending like one. The most powerful form of human communication is one person speaking to another. But if people have to suffer through your sound, they'll change the channel and miss your message. Creamy Radio Audio will help you speak to the world with sound that will make people want to keep listening. Check out creamyradioaudio.com. That's creamyradioaudio.com.
Freedom Fiends.
It's typical. Sometimes on the Freedom Fiends, things go backwards, like me trying to not plug Michael's book.
Yeah, we're talking about this chapter called Letter to a Young Me.
No, let me say it, because
users.
Yeah, this is for the user's manual to a human experience.
No, user's manual for human experience. You can get it at Amazon or MichaelWDean.com.
Yeah. So before I got to be Michael's friend, and just he was a personality, someone I listened to on the radio, that I could just only dream of joining him on the radio, before all that time...
You were like, boy, I'd sure love that guy to interrupt me once a week for a couple
hours.
Yeah, I
just really want Michael, you know, but I was thinking, I wish Michael could interrupt me someday, but before I ever said that...
Back when I was interrupting people that won't talk to me now, that we mentioned
listening
in the first hour...
Michael Dean After Dark. I was listening to that, and I was listening to all dark. Kinds of Freedom Fiends shows, and then I heard you actually do that whole audiobook for your book, and then I heard you read A Letter to Your Younger Self. And, and that's where I'm feeling the... This really moved me. Like, I'm having
chills
going
up my skin.
You said
that during the break. You said, what did you say to me? It's funny.
I can't tell you how much I still think of that. It echoes through my mind to this day. It's very powerful. That the basically you go through that whole book and then you get to the point where you're actually writing an entire letter to yourself, and it sounds so potent and real. Your wisdom about yourself. And there's so much learning in that, and it echoes to me to this day. It's inspiring. And that's my plug for your book, and it's real.
Thank you. But during the break, you said, I don't want to say this. What did you say? You said, like, I won't say this publicly, but I'm like, why? Or something like that. You're like, I don't want to say this on air. Between you and me. He said, between you and me.
I was getting really emotional.
Oh, okay. So you don't want to share that
thought,
with the world?
You know, just be the radio person. And that was the time where I could be vulnerable,
touching yourself.
Like little Daryl.
They can't see you crying and touching
they can't
yourself.
See me crying on my touching self. Yeah.
You need a touchpad. Oh, my touchpad is...
there you go.
Is speaking of... what is that segue? The segue we always make fun of like Fox
Show me
News.
On the doll where your touchpad touched you,
where
Michael.
They're like... And then... And the Muslims, we should bomb them back to the Stone Age. This is Hannity. We should bomb the Muslims back to the Stone Age. And you know what else is Stone Age? Having hard water. That's why I use hard water filters for blah, 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 blah. He does segues like that. But
Bob Law's Law Blog.
I love Bob Law's Law Blog. My wife's a paralegal. She thought that was pretty funny. Because she actually has, you know, people in the
Isn't
lawyer.
Scott Baio.
Yes. Yes.
Perfect.
Right, so 420. It's model. My tablet is cobbler. My writing tablet. My mouse tablet is model number 420.
Perfect.
All right. So rights don't exist. That's my theory, and people are shocked. Like, oh my God, this friend of mine in Wyoming, this guy named Paul Bonneau, says rights don't exist. I never thought about that because I was like, well, you know, first I was in the Constitution, and someone taught into the Constitution, and someone taught me about natural rights. I'm like, oh, natural rights, that's it. Yeah, we're born with these rights. They're inalienable. Doesn't matter if they're written down. Right. It's nice they're written down, but yeah. But what? Huh?
Where do they exist?
Well, Paul Bonneau says there are no natural rights. He says, you know, people say, well, you have the right to not be killed, and you have the right to, you know, like we don't believe that you have the right to free health care. Of course, that's communist crap. But, you know, a lot of people on radio are like, well, you have the rights that are in the Constitution. And like libertarians are like, no, you just have the natural rights. You have the right to defend yourself. You have the right to not be killed. You have the right to your own property. And Paul Bonneau, who's an uber libertarian and older than me and really wise, says, no, the only rights you have are the ones you can fight to keep. And that's true, I think. And we'll go to the break with this. You go to your grave. I mean, the break with this. Paul Bonneau has an interesting background. So that guy was a Vietnam vet. He spent the
Paul
Vietnam
Bonneau?
War.
Wait. How did people find him?
Paul Bonneau. He writes for
Paul
Strike
Bonneau.
The Root. StrikeTheRoot.com.
Okay.
You don't find him. He has to come over to your house. He's kind of hidden. You know, like people in Wyoming libertarians other than me aren't on the internet much. They're, you know, they're not like... Like, you know, if Porkfest, everyone's got a video camera. If you pulled out a video camera at a Wyoming Liberty event, they'd be like, do I know you? Why are you videotaping me? You know?
I mean, it's Boston Tea Party, is he there?
Yeah. They're all, he and Paul Bonneau started the Free State Project. Boston started it, but Paul was like patient two, you know, after one. So Paul Bonneau spent the Vietnam War, he was in the Marines, and he spent the Vietnam War in Hawaii on a beach. In the war, in the Army, or the Marines. He was, because he knew how to run computers, and they had a big computer network there that was helping run the war. They had big computers, and he's like, oh, I could do that. So like, oh, you're not going to get shot. You stay here and run these computers. And Marines join. You don't get drafted for the Marines. You join because you want to be in, you know? So he lucked out. Spent Vietnam War on a beach in Hawaii. Eating lobsters and making love on the beach.
I could dig that.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends, tasing you with liberty since 2011. Learn more at freedomfiends.com.
Starving in the Company of Beautiful Women is Michael W. Dean's novel from the year 2000. It's entirely fiction.
Allegedly.
Starving in the Company of Beautiful Women is a glorious story about a low-rent, post-punk rock star, Cash Newman. Cash Newman is entirely made up.
Not a guarantee.
And is not based on any particular person.
Not a guarantee.
Cash Newman has lots of fun with strange ladies and with the party favors.
Don't try this at home.
And he hangs out with people who commit 3 felonies a page.
But that's none of my business.
It's all in good fun. And at the same time, it's kind of deep, but always spunky. Michael recently updated the book to a much better version. He released it as a paperback and for the first time on Kindle. As with this and all Freedom Fiends related things, please rate and review. And of course, it's covered by the BIPCOT NoGov license. Get Starving in the Company of Beautiful Women now on Amazon or at michaelwdean.com.
For entertainment purposes only.
Yeah, it's true.
Freedom Fiends are back.
Yeah. I see. Lovey. That's lovey. All right. So I posted today. So let me tell you one thing about me, if you want to be on my block list in life. Nothing gets you blocked quick. Well, the quickest thing that gets you blocked is being someone I have no mutual friends, adding me as a so-called friend, what I call a McFriend now on Facebook. A McFriend, because I don't have 3,000 friends. I have like 30 friends in the world, but I have 3,000 McFriends on Facebook. And then people I don't know, usually older people. It's usually older white dudes, like old conservative gray-haired dudes, or, you know, our radio audience. Or it's dudes in Africa who don't understand how the...
Chris Sockenstein.
Both of them don't understand the... Chris Sockenstein. Yeah. Did I tell you I blocked that guy and said I blocked a communist named Chris Sockenstein, and some alt-right dude said Sockenstein. He put it in the 3 echoes, you know, the parentheses, and he said, well done, citizens, stay vigilant. I said, no, he's just a communist. I don't care about that.
Yeah.
But that's fun. I've been using that line on a lot of things. Well done, citizens. Stay vigilant. Because it irks libertarians because they all say they're not citizens. But I think if you are in the eyes of the government, you can use that term as mockingly, you know, like how in Fight Club, everyone called everyone sir and then beat each other's butts.
That was pretty brutal. But yeah, the soap was good.
Yeah. Soap made from human fat. You really want to go there? It's too soon, man.
Well, I don't know. It's like I didn't make a contract saying you deserve not to hear this, you know?
I know. Well, that's, you know. So I said today that the most libertarian thing you can do is block somebody on a social network. And people just exploded. They were like, that's crazy. What do you mean by that? I mean, what I mean is that, you know, libertarianism is all about property rights. Like, this is my line. Don't cross my line. I own this. I earned it. I homesteaded it. Stay away. And, you know, the thing you own the most is your body. I mean, if you can't put something in your body that you want, and I'm talking about substances, not long things that you buy in the mail from marital companies, but those too, like anything you, if you can't put something in your body, you don't have freedom. You don't own yourself. You know, you don't have freedom of ingestion. But even more than that, I'd say that you own your brain, because that's what you view the world from. That's what you view your body from and what it does. So if people want to scream at you and you're like, I don't feel like being screamed at anymore, they're obviously not going to stop, and you just block them. People get livid when you do that. I mean, liberals' idea of free speech would be tying you to a chair and screaming at you from 5 feet away with a bullhorn and making you listen. I really think so. But a lot of conservatives are like that too. So, and a lot of libertarians. And, you know, some guy today was yelling at me and said that my What I say is that blocking people increases the signal to noise ratio. It gets rid, you know, that people screaming at you is just noise. And he said I was just making an echo chamber, and I got irked. I'm like, man, you don't understand property rights if you think that, you know, because it's the most liberal libertarian thing you can do is block people, because you're showing that you have, you're exercising your rights to the property to have your brain free from weenies, from idiots, you know? And then it turned out, like, from going back and forth 5 or 10 minutes, like, he was just kidding. And I'm like, dude, that's about the fastest way to get blocked by me, is to kid insulting me. Because I don't have friends that do that. I mean, if there's someone I know really well, I'll tolerate a tiny bit of it. Like, Lou Fien does a tiny bit of it. But I know his baseline, you know? Someone who I don't know their baseline, some stranger, just starts insulting me. I'm like, F you, man.
Did I ever do that?
No, no.
No.
Because you believe in nonviolent communication, and you wouldn't do that.
That's true.
I believe in violent communication, but only with people that want it. All right, so rights are what you can keep, apparently.
They're just an idea. That's what it is.
Yeah, so you wanted to get for this for the whole show. I'm going to shut up.
No, I just seconds. I was going to say it's part of deserve-oriented thinking and deserve-oriented language. You know, that you deserve a certain thing.
Constitution is definitely part of that.
And what I wanted to say was just, wow, what an awesome thing it was when I woke up one day and figured out that I deserve nothing, and it's all on me to get what I want, hopefully with a win-win situation, you know? So
AA kind of teaches that with newly recovering, because newly recovering addicts and alcoholics, like, generally don't have a lot of life skills because they've spent their whole life living in a little drugged out drunk world where, you know, they're king and everyone else does their bidding, and they just want to take care of themselves. You know, they don't, it's hard to be intimate and think of others when your drug comes first. So a lot, you know, a lot of times in recovery, early recovery, like, someone will be so sober suddenly, and suddenly dealing with life on life's terms, and suddenly, you know, their boss will fire them because they thought they were stealing, but someone else was stealing, and they're like, I don't deserve this. Their sponsor will say, you deserve nothing. You're lucky to be alive. You should be dead. By the grace of God, you're alive and you're sober. That's all you've got. Let's start from there and try to work, you know? Although all cults do that.
On
all
this
cults
radio station,
break you down.
Oh, yeah. But too many cults don't emphasize responsibility. I mean, that one kind of does
emphasize. Totally does. And it's a non-destructive cult, so I don't have any beefs with it, really.
Yeah, I mean, so you were told to take responsibility for your mental real estate. Like, who you're going to, you know, allow into your mind, right?
Well, you know that my book that you like, User's Manual for the Human Experience, is basically me going through AA for 12 years, going almost every day and working a program and sponsoring other people and really going whole hog with it. And then going like, I don't need this anymore. And then kind of creating my own sort of self-help thing based off it, combined with everything I'd known my whole life. So, yeah. I'm the punk rock Napoleon Hill. Oh, wait, no, that was the Bad Brains.
Does your book work for white people? Or
Is
it only, you know, only for musicians who are getting off a harsh habit?
No, actually, if you read the reviews, the user reviews on Amazon, a lot of them are, you know, this seems like it's a book for people who were in punk rock or had a drug problem. I've never had either, but I found it helpful.
You know? Yeah, that's exactly what I thought. It's really a sweet book. Get the audiobook too, by the way.
Yeah, you can have me yelling at you in a soft voice like this. So I like what you say about rights. So are you basically saying that there are no rights? There's only what you can fight for?
There's only agreements. Agreements made, agreements kept, agreements broken. That's accountability.
You know, it's really disgusting to me, or saddening to me, how many libertarians are really bad at agreements, because they'll talk a long talk about how Mises says that you must, well, they'll probably say Stefan Molyneux says, because they don't want to read Mises. They have it watered down for them. Or
let us turn
Martin
to Mises 12:13, where he says.
Yes, yes. It sounds like that. I mean, people in AA are like that, too. It's funny thing about AA is they'll be like, yeah, as it says on page, they'll tell there's, as it says on page 449, and like that, the pages were the same in AA book for like 50 years. And then the fourth edition, they changed the numbering because they added more stories. So all of a sudden, like, you had to repaginate in your head. I'll bet people drank over that, seriously.
Repaginate somebody. Is a new word I learned today.
Just now?
Yeah.
It's the proper word. There's actually, I learned that from Microsoft Word and then later from Quark page layout program. Because they repaginate, you know, there's settings on the repagination.
So back to the whole idea of these concepts of natural rights or any type of rights. Yeah. It's the whole deserve-oriented thinking in a nutshell. And no, man, this is the world. Either you do it or you're making arrangements with people. That means agreements. And agreements can be made and kept and made and broken. That's basically it.
Yeah.
So what are you going to do when they're broken? Well, I've got a series of steps. What do you do? Do you go right to the nuclear option?
I often do, and my wife talks me out of it.
Oh, like F him, right?
Well, like here's an example. Like I ordered something from a small mom and pop company recently through Amazon, but you know, or not through Amazon, like it, just through the people. And so you probably saw my post about this. So I got this email on Saturday that said, your package out for delivery in New York City with the tracking number he'd sent me. Actually, it's like the automated email his company sent me out in New York City. And then I texted him, like the only contact on his website is a text. So I texted him and I was writing the text and I read it to my wife before I sent it. And I said, it says that my package is out for delivery in New York. And then it said, as I'm writing it, it says, your package has been delivered in New York City. And I'm like, okay, I wrote the guy. I said, the package has been delivered in New York City. It didn't, you know, what are you going to do about this? I demand, you know, please take care of this. And remember, I can review you through Amazon and give you a bad review because I used Amazon Pay. And they take that very seriously. And I read it to my wife and she's like, remove the last three sentences. Like, just say, you know, my stuff is delivered to New York City. What can you do to help me?
Yeah, there you go.
And because the email I was writing was like for the third or fourth, you know, or fifth,
right?
Of that you'd write with a person, and then the sixth, you say, "I'm going to talk bad about you on my nationally syndicated radio show." Well, you've got that option.
That is the nuclear option. Yeah.
Yeah, but really, I'm bad at that kind of stuff, yeah. But I understand that it needs to be done and taken care of. And the thing is, I don't do that. I'm never on the other end of that. Like, I almost always keep my end of a deal. And if I don't, a lot of people get fired from the Freedom Fiends for really not keeping their end of the deal. Their end of the deal is show up once a week or once every 2 weeks and do a show and don't cuss and be interesting and don't be a communist and don't sleep through the show.
Basically. Oh, and good audio.
And good audio, it goes without saying, but yeah. And a lot of people can't do all that.
It's unfortunate. I'm trying to clone one over here. You know, I've got like a spare Daryl butting off of my shoulder, you know.
That's so creepy. I love it.
I wanted you to visualize that because I know that you could look at my Facebook cartoonized icon and just picture that.
Yeah. I'm going to call the show Rights Don't Exist. That's a good link baity title.
Yeah. I mean, for some people, rights are their schadenfreude, you know?
Oh, man.
And that, that
so tell me
is...
more about rights and why they don't exist. I'm intrigued.
I can't find
subscribe
them.
Subscribe to your newsletter.
It's that simple. I mean, as we close into my final moments, as we search hard for the redemption coming up.
Did you drink some hemlock? What do you mean, your final moments?
The final moments before the final break.
Oh, okay.
You know?
Good.
As we close in on that.
You started like you get a little sleepy, like, yeah, as I close in on my final moments.
I'm saying I've got the redemption, and you'll hear it after we come back.
All right.
Listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
Cell 411 is a free app for Android and iOS that replaces government-controlled 911. Cell 411 allows you to preset a group of friends or private organizations to show up in any emergency. Cell 411 is a nightmare for the state because it proves their so-called services aren't needed. Cell 411 has had thousands of installs, and of course it's covered by the BIPCOT no government license. Cell 411, because your friends won't shoot you when you're in trouble. Without the government, who would build the emergency services? You and Cell 411. Get it today at getcell411.com. That's getcell411.com.
We've elegantly prepared redemption for you, the listener. Are you really there, Michael?
I'm Googling what is the Jewish terrorist organization called, because I don't think it's the ADL. I think the ADL is just really... So yeah, that lady, I never really finished that story. So that lady that told me I shouldn't have Cubby's child, you know, like best friend from when he was 20, he used to shoot heroin with in the movie because he said something about some conspiracy theory. And I was at her house, like picking up this tape she had of Cubby Selby, Hubert Selby talking that she was donating to the movie. Because we, you know, a lot of people chipped in, like a lot of people had stuff about him. And she's like, no, really, you shouldn't have this guy. And she pulled up the ADL website, and, you know, it had, like, Amiri Baraka is the devil. Don't do things with him. So I was like, I don't know, man.
Yeah, I just go to the Anti-Defamation League and find out who I should not be liking today.
Yeah. You know?
So, yeah. Well, basically, back long ago when I was dreaming of being interrupted by you on the radio, Michael.
Yeah, many people have that dream, and... We might have room for another, so if you believe so, write to me at... If you believe you could be interrupted by me on the radio, write to me at bipcoin@gmail.com. That's Bravo India Papa Coin at gmail.com. And here's a hint for someone who wants to be a Freedom Fiend. If you don't have audio that's good that you can send me right now, you're not Fiend's material.
Whoa, I had to send all this
audio? You're an exception. You're an exception.
Because
you were vouched for by four or five fiends. Who knew you?
You can ask each fiend. So, yeah, back then, just to go back to it, I was just figuring all these things out, saying, okay, well, then its natural rights exist. And then I was like, no, none of that. That's just all agreements. And now I'm here, just figuring out what to do. It's about that simple.
Fiend and phone. Yeah. Fiend phone.
Yeah.
I got excited to unplug myself, but go on.
Sometimes Michael drones himself. So.
I did. I censored myself. I was like, I don't like where this is going. I just unplugged it and kept talking. Go on.
You know, it's true. So we don't have a right to more competent fiend.
It's a struggle,
co-hosts.
Man. The struggle is real to keep this show sounding good and happening and good.
To stay up late, to be able to do all of this, to produce audio, to be able to speak to you, the audience, and you, Michael, and just to know who you're talking to.
It's like a cult.
Drop,
if you want to sit at my left hand, and I wouldn't say be at my feet, I'd say you guys are at my left hand or my right hand.
So the redemption is... People
no, I got one more thing to say.
Siberia.
One more thing to say for people that want to be Freedom Fiends co-hosts. Not only do you have to have the audio right now, it has to be somewhere I can view it without jumping through hoops. Like... SoundCloud or YouTube. Don't send me a Dropbox where I have to log in. No, Dropbox is a virus. All right, go on. Allegedly. I'm turning my mic off so you can talk. Go ahead. Here we go.
This happens sometimes. I was just saying that as redemption.
I'm so excited to talk to you. Go on.
Keep saying it. One of the pieces of redemption that Michael sent me earlier was the people are heating their homes in Siberia by mining Bitcoin. I didn't really verify that, but that just it warms my heart just to think of that, you know.
I know.
Cause
although they're probably not now, because in Russia, if you post something about you're doing something weird and making a bunch of money, even if it's not illegal, they're probably going to... Either the government or some, you know, the mafia is going to come over and take 50%. Oh, marijuana tax in California is going up to 70%. I did not say 17. I said 70. 7-0. So
7-0. And also, magic mushroom legalization efforts clears the first hurdle in California.
That caught my attention. Like, wow. I don't want any. I don't think I could physically handle something that would blow my mind.
Michael,
blood pressure would spike.
You could come here, enjoy the island times, and have
eat some
amazing...
lobsters, make love with your woman. It'd be great. Oh, wait. I didn't mean that.
Got to edit that out there.
Make love with a lobster. I don't know. Something like that. I'm not being crude. I'm just having fun, man. I love you, and I'm not hitting on anybody except your lobsters.
That's a good plan, and it's great doing a show with you. I've got all the warm feelings right now, the fuzziness.
Well, you know that the Freedom Fiends eventually, like, you know, we share our credit card numbers and our women and our wine.
It's true, and, you know, we even dox each other just for the fun.
That's a joke, because one time Diana let me use her credit card number because I had the money, but I didn't have a credit card. I did some to make the Fiends apps, I needed a real credit card, not a debit card. So,
trust, so as you listen to the show, you can imagine all the work that goes in behind the scenes. You can actually consider going to the website itself. And please go
send Jeremy money. He needs it more than I do. For
actually, lawyers. We're going to take up some alms for him.
Yeah.
Because that's saga.
Alms. Can you say it on radio?
Take up alms.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're done with the Schadenfreude.
Yep, we are. It's been a great show. Worms.
It's been a worms.